God, praise God, praise God. You may be seated. I am not going to spend a long time. I could like to recap our prayer book out of Psalms 119 simply because, as I told you this morning, Sister Alicia Messina asked me a question about it, and I gave her a quick sort of overview about how that this song is the longest in the Bible and the longest chapter, and it has 22 sub-chapters, if you will, each sub-chapter having 8 verses. And I don't, why 8? I don't know. Why 8 verses, but each letter of the alphabet, starting at the first letter, which is Aleph, and going through all the Hebrew letters, and then how each letter of each stanza under each subchapter begins in Hebrew with that same letter. It's how they teach their children the alphabet. They memorize these words of Psalms 119, and it's to teach them sort of like we do the ABCs. And I don't know, sort of, we know seven's God's perfect number. Only thing I could think of was that, you know, it was on the 8th day that Jesus got up. You say, what's the 8th day? It was after the Sabbath, and it was the first day of the week, the Bible says. So maybe that was it. You know, he was the Word in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so maybe that's what it was all about. I don't know. You don't have to. That's not necessarily law and gospel, but this is a song about the Word of God and the statutes and the testimonies and all of the ordinances and the precepts and the decrees and all of those words that mean the same as the Torah, or actually maybe expound on it. And this, all the verses have that reference, and except one, I think maybe doesn't have it, and that one is kind of a little bit obscure, that we could be a reference in it that we don't know about. But why is that the word so important? And I quoted to you what Jesus said in Luke, that you're blessed when you hear the word and keep it. And that Revelation, John said the same thing: blessed is he that reads and hears and keeps, and for the time is at hand. And I'm going to be candid with you that this hour we're living in, I think we need more of the word than ever before, because all the words that we hear are so filled with anger and angst and hurt and frustration and anxiety, all of those things, and vitriol and whatever, acid, whatever words you want to say. I'm thankful that we can retreat into the Word of God, because heaven and earth will pass away, but the word won't. And I there are so many verses that talk about, you know, thy word have I hid in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. And there are words that say, you know, that somehow the word, in fact, the Bible says he magnifies or his word above his name. So while we talk about the name, the word becomes important. And I then talked about how that we don't often pray simple prayers or read prayers. We are not probably as liturgical as some that go through prayers and read them, and I am not suggesting that you should lose the ability to talk to the Lord from your heart and talk to Him from how you're experiencing God. But I do think that sometimes in this hour, possibly we have become not too honest, but misguided in our honesty, that our honesty comes from the flesh more than it does from the Spirit reaching the Lord. And I showed you how Elijah fell into that temptation and others. And I have heard people and I have listened to people who will, who have wanted to talk to me, and it's almost like they just throw up on you. If you never know what I'm talking about, they just are full of venom or bile, and it's just, and you're just feeling like, oh man, I need to take a shower after I just got through talking to you. Because not that necessarily they said bad words, although I guess some that would apply, but it's just that there was such, there was no life in their words. And the Bible talked about that in Proverbs and in Genesis, that we are, we really in our flesh, when someone says, well, I don't understand and I don't think and I get it. And yet that's why the Lord talked about bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, to the obedience of the Lord. And that's why the Lord had to go off and pray and bring himself into, not my will, but thine be done. And so when you read, how do you be honest? How are you honest with God? And that is, number one, you understand who he is. Number two, be honest about what you're facing. Number three, tell the Lord what you're asking for, and then sort of stand there in faith. And then we went through the sections, and we ran off a half sheet of paper. Ushers, do you have those in the back? We'll pass those out. And it was all these sections of eight. And we talked about how that all of these sections of Psalms 119, eight verses at a time were words that we could pray. And I hope you will pray these. And I know, and my wife said when I slipped out to go into the prayer room, but it is our rowing. It is our job. And I know I have encouraged people to read a proverb every month, but I'm going to encourage you somehow, whether it's every one of these stanzas or find those that identify with where you are, because I want you to understand that probably at some time, maybe more than once in a day, we will find ourselves needing this kind of prayer. And it's good to focus that prayer on God. Now, I know I told you the word was mentioned 176 times. There, the word of God, and yet four times more than that were those pronouns that make it personal. If the word doesn't become personal, it's just another yah, 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 yah. Huh? You can put on the Bible and you can just, fall asleep to it, and that's wonderful, but at some point it's got to be personal. In fact, when you look through, and I there are Psalms 119, I could preach from different verses for a long time, but I just want you to notice some of these verses. I talked about, and I just went through and picked a few of them out and said, I will. Just some I will verses that are there. Verse 7 talks about I will. This is all out of Psalms 119. I will praise thee. I will do it. I don't feel like it, but I will. I will make myself praise thee with uprightness of heart. In other words, from my heart I'm going to praise you. Well, I don't feel like when I have learned of thy righteous judgments. Verse 8. He said, I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Verse 15, he said, I will meditate in thy precepts. In verse 16, he said, I will delight myself in thy. What do you say? At some point, you've got to say, you know what? I know, I'm sad. But you know what? I am going to delight myself in the word of God. I am so thankful that I know the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. I'm glad I went and had a personal Pentecost, and the Word was written on the fleshly tables of my heart. Verse 16, there it said, delight. Verse 32, I will run, he said, the way of thy commandments. I will run the way of thy commandments. In other words, you're not going to have to drag me kicking and screaming. You don't have to make me, and I have always said, we have such a wonderful group of young folks, but whenever a person comes and says, now, do I have to worship the Lord? Do I have to read the Bible? Do I have to pray? Do I have to get, I'm going to tell you, you've missed the whole point of what it's all about. I will run the way of your commandments. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I will run. All right, verse 45. We won't have time to pray this. We're going to pray it in just a moment. I will walk in at liberty. I don't care what anybody else. I will be free, whom the Son hath set free. Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I can feel, I don't know, you don't know what I've been through. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. He said in verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed. I don't care who's around me. I'm not ashamed of who I believe. He said, if you're not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you. I got to quit adding verses here. Verse 62, I will at midnight when I can't sleep and I don't know what to do, I'm pacing the floor, I will get up and give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. You know, the best way to get sleepy is to start praising the Lord or reading the word. When the sleep has left you, start praising the Lord and reading the word, and the devil will say, man, let him sleep. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts. And then he said, I have sought. In verse 10, I have sought the Lord. With my whole heart I've sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I have rejoiced. In verse 14, he said, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. What are you saying? That, you know what? Oh, man, what a great feeling it is to get a raise, and what a great feeling it is to get your income tax rebate, and praise the Lord, and wow, if the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes knocked on your door, man, oh man, what a great feeling it is to be financially blessed. He said, I have rejoiced because of the testimonies. That's the kind of pleasure we ought to get from the word of the Lord. He said, I have declared. In verse 26, thy ways, you heard me. Verse 30, I have chosen. Verse 55, I have redeemed. I have been remembered thy name. And, O Lord, in the night, they that have kept my law. I've remembered thy name. Verse 66, I have believed. Teach me good judgment, knowledge, for I have believed. I have refrained my feet. 107, sometimes, you know, you got to tell your feet, I don't need to go there. I don't need to do that. Oh, Lord. That's the wrong verse. I put the wrong one. It's all right. It's which one? I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me according to your word. I know, but there was one that said, I have refrained my feet. Anyway, 174, my bad. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. Thy law is my delight. Verse 176, the last one, he said, I have gone astray like a sheep, like a lost sheep. What do you say? You know, probably most of the people that lose out with God go astray like a lost lamb. In other words, they don't think about anything, and they're just eating grass and doing their own little thing, caught up in their own little world. Huh? And, oh, I don't just start off doing something stupid and running off a cliff, but I just start kind of, you know, I'm not focused on anything else but just eating grass. And I just wander off like a sheep. The awesome thing about that is, folks, we have a shepherd. He said, I'll leave the 99 and go look. Oh, if we have unsaved loved ones that have wandered on a path like a lost lamb, I'm so thankful that I have a shepherd. I will forget not thy commandments. He said, my soul, this was personal. At times he said, my soul is breaking. In verse 20 and verse 25, my soul is cleaving. In other words, it's cleaving to the dust. It feels like I'm one with the worst thing that could be. In verse 28, he said, it's melting. My soul is fainting. In verse 81, my soul is waiting. My soul is trusting. In verse 176 and in verse 175, he said, my soul longs. What are you saying? Psalms 119, let my soul live and I shall praise thee, and let my judgments help me. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, take this. You have a, did they give those up here? Some of you got them? All right. You have all of those things. You were going to lead us in prayer. In Psalms 119. Don't forget all the announcements this week.
This morning or this evening, we met in the prayer room and we had readers that volunteered to do this. I think probably, Pastor, you have sealed it for us. I am offering you to join us in a 40-day challenge. If we start tomorrow, well, Sister Shostrand, we've never done this before. We haven't stopped 40 days. I won't ask those of you who have started the 40-day fast over to raise your hand. I'm not going to do that because it's private, it's personal, between you and your God. But I will share with you that it feels to me like, and I live with the pastor, but the pastor does not talk to me about what the Lord's going to say to him. He's a high priest, and I'm priest in someplace else. And so, but I'm telling you what my spirit bears witness with what he's doing. It feels to me like the Lord is giving us directions on how to row with him. This is not by might or power. You know, when you go on a fast of food, it takes some willpower to push that plate back. But I mean, this is simple. This is getting up every day for 22 days. If you say, well, none of these really speak to me. For the first 22 days, I would pray them in order. 8 verses a day. Out loud. Read them out loud. Get up and go your way. Why are you doing that? It's not the power of one person. It's the collective power of a group of people who are in unity. Now, how many people does it take to bring that kind of a revival? Well, according to my Bible, the word of the Lord said, whether... So I'm going to be one of those two, I'm telling you right now. If the Holy Ghost is getting ready to do something, I'm in. I am all in. I am sold out. My mind is made up. when the man of God gets up one week and says, they had 12 baskets full of miracles, and Jesus sent them away, and they did exactly what he said do, and wound up in the middle between where they were and where they were going, absolutely spent and exhausted, rowing with all their might and getting nowhere. I'm telling you, we're there, folks. We're so there. And then Jesus came walking on the sea, and when they were terrified of him, his response was, I am. So I've been thinking about all the stuff coming at our folks, and I've just been hollering, I am. Not Janice, I am, but you said, I am. So when I'm scared of something, oh, whatever your somethings are, and I'm like, oh, God, I just say right back to him, I am. You're either with us or you're not, Lord, and I know you are because we have been diligently following your voice. Week after week, since December the 31st, I can attest the Lord gave us a mandate, 40 days of fasting, we did it. Some of us started it over. And it wasn't a hard fast. It wasn't like going without food, and some people have done it. I never have. I think I'd probably destroy my body if I did it. I'm not capable of that kind of, I just can't. But I can do what Pastor said, something different every week. I can do that. And then this, for the Lord to come back after saying, hey, I sent you with 12 baskets full of miracles. I personally, if the 16th, we will have been here 15 years. We're getting ready to celebrate 10 and a half, at one decade and a half here with you, watching your kids grow up and your elders go on to be with the Lord. I became 60 here. I'm telling you, God is up to something good. He did not take us away from our families in Arkansas, remove us and plop us down here just to watch you walk and go on your merry way. There's no way. We're going somewhere. We are going somewhere, and I'm in. I'm all in. I'm ready. I'm like, let's go, Jesus. And we just keep rowing. And folks keep coming back telling stories. So-and-so needs prayer. You ought to be in our Tuesday morning prayer. If you hate prayer requests, then you wouldn't want to be in there. Sometimes we just say, Jesus, you already know. There's so many we could have spent the entire hour just calling names. It's too much. So I say, all right, Lord, you already told us. Remember when Pastor preached? The people failed God, and the Lord said, your people have messed up. And Moses turned around and said, oh, no. They're your people. And he started reading his own words back to him. And the Lord said, okay, you got me. I made a promise. This right here is a roadmap for the first 22 days. And then what would that be? The 18 days following them. And I'm going to ask you to join me tomorrow, starting Monday. You can do them in order. You can do them out of order. But as a church, we're going to take this prayer journey together. And then, do you know what the 40th day will be? The Friday before Palm Sunday. Brother Heath, when we come in on that Palm Sunday, either Sunday morning or Sunday night, we're going to sing, Hosanna. Pastor, if I didn't think we'd knock each other out, I'd ask us to go find some palms, branches. I'd be waving some palm branches myself. But I figured that it will do well just to sing Hosanna and leave these palms. You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, God is up to something. I want to find out what it is. If he says, pray me 8 verses every day for the next 40 and watch me. Oh, man. Man, I feel like a kid in a candy store. I told the choir, I'm not sure what I want to ask him for, because what if he wants to give me something more than what I could ask? So you know what I'm saying? Jesus, just show up and show out and just dazzle us. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Do it in every family. I'm telling you, the Lord is fixing to do something. Can you feel it? Hallelujah. So I think maybe we will, just 6:41. We went around the prayer room tonight and everybody took one. We had 22 people at one time, plus picking 8 verses and reading them. Let me tell you what you can do. Dad, when you get up in the morning or you come in the evening, you and your little boy and your little girl, if they can read, you can take turns reading and let those children read with you. Mama, you can send those children off with 8 verses in their ear. If you're by yourself, you can call a friend and say, hey, would you read with me today? We're going to read Samech, whatever that is, or Yod, or Vow. Will you read Vow with me today? Yes, I will. What are you doing? 2 of you are agreeing. Thank you very much, Click. Have a good day. Hallelujah. Husbands and wives can begin and end the day with, let's read. I'll read a verse out loud. You read a verse out loud. Gather the children around the table. If you got 8 in your family, everybody takes a verse. You know what the Holy Ghost is doing? He's getting this church up on its feet. He's pulling us together in our families. Hallelujah. Moms and dads and little children. I feel the presence of the Lord here. Do you feel it? Are we in unity? Thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn to Psalm 119. I'm going to let you pick your own 8 verses. It's going to sound like a murmur. You know what that murmur is? It's called the waves of the sea. When people talk at a distance, it sounds like water, the sound of many waters. So I want you to pick whatever it is you want to read. And we're not going to sing. We're going to read to Jesus. That's how we're going out of here. And then I'm going to let the choir and the praise team sing something lovely to him. Lord, we have worshiped and praised and magnified. I'm asking you to linger here for a moment to listen to your people read to you. I want somebody to go sit by Tilly. Sister Jenny Cawthorn, will you go sit by Tilly? I want Tilly to hear you read. Tilly, I love you. Tilly doesn't have a Bible. She needs someone to read to her. I want Tilly to be part of this. Some of you ladies call this week and say, Tilly, I'm going to read 8 verses to you and I want you to listen. I want her to be part. Oh, did you find what you want to read? Put your finger on your verse. If you read it in the King James, you will see the letters of the Hebrew alphabet listed boldly to the left of your text. And from one Hebrew letter, Aleph to Bet, will be 8 verses. This entire 176 verses is divided in 22 sections of 8 each. I'm not going to tell you what to read. I just suspect that for the next few minutes, the Lord is going to delight himself in listening to verses that the first king after his own heart wrote. I can't imagine what this is going to sound like to him. Say, well, I don't read that well. I don't care how you read. You're not reading for me right now. Put your finger. I'm just going to say a little prayer. And then I want you to read. And we're doing this for the Lord. So I'm going to give you a little background music. Like reverence and holiness and beauty. And I hope the angels are listening tonight. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we're about to read to you from an ancient word you gave a long time ago. Look down on us and be pleased to hear the sound of our voices, young and old, reading to you from your book that you gave us. In Jesus' name, you may begin.